Hello, everybody. This is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin, and this podcast is on the Eddyroll R09HR. Just released in May, it is June 6th, so a very early version of this recorder. Let me begin by saying that it's a very nice recorder to hold in your hand. It is rubberized instead of plastic. I'm sure there's plastic under the rubber, but it is a rubberized case, which makes it very secure to hold in your hand. It doesn't slide, nor does it slide when you put it on a table. It's very nice in that regard. It's small. It's 2.5 inches wide, 4.5 inches long, and 1 1/6 inches thick. The weight is 7 ounces, with battery and card. By the way, the sound you hear, in addition to the microphone preamplifier hiss, is a lawnmower outside. And, oops, I'm walking around in my room, and, there is a bit of RF noise that it picks up. But not very much. I'm in a very strange place for RF noise, and it occurs in lots of things. So let me begin by describing this recorder. The microphones are on the top of the unit. Imagine a long cylinder placed on top of the recorder, stretching from one side to the other, with a microphone at each end. The cylinder has holes in the end of the cylinder. It also has holes around the edge of the cylinder, and who knows where the sound comes out. Some of those might just be ports, but given that they're omnidirectional microphones, I suspect they're all pretty much gateways for the sound to come out. On top of the microphone cylinder is the headphone jack. And I'm going to be wandering around in various other parts of the house while I'm doing this. I would have thought that that jack might have been the microphone input, but alas, I was incorrect. And as you can tell, I'm in a very echoey room. These are, because they're omnidirectional microphones, they're likely to pick up more ambient sound than some other mics, but that's what this mic has. And in some ways, such as wind protection, it's really nice. So on the top of the recorder, you have the microphone cylinder with the headphone jack pointing straight up. On the front of the unit, you have a very large display. And under the display, you have two rows of buttons. And these are very easy to press buttons. They're kind of long metal or plastic buttons, long and thin. There are two buttons on the top row, the left of which is Finder, and we'll talk about Finder in a second. To the right of that is the menu button. Press it, and you're in the menus. Press it again, and you're out of menus. Underneath those two buttons are three more buttons. The left one is Speed. You can set a speed in the recorder menus, and when you press that button, that's the speed you're on, and you can have it slower than normal or faster than normal. I'm not going to go into the details about how slow and how fast, because one of the things I want to do in this podcast, and that's why I'm hurrying through, is to give you an overall feel of the sound of the recorder and save all of the other stuff until later. Soon, to be sure, but I wanted those of you who wanted the information about how good this recorder is quality-wise to have a crack at it before I learned all there is to know about all the other stuff. To the right of the speed button is the reverb button, which only works in playback. You can set specific halls or reverb spaces and the amount of reverb in the menus, and when you press this button in playback, it's on, and when you press it again, it's off. To the right of the reverb button is the last button on the right, which is AB, and underneath it says Shift. Now, I don't know exactly what that is. I can imagine what AB would be like. I'm not sure what Shift is, but I suspect you're able to write names of files and other stuff on here, so I'm not sure. Again, I'll gloss over it until we have more data. Below this set of buttons are the navigation buttons. You have a square, like you had on the older 80 roll, you have a right and left arrow, an up and down arrow, and in the middle there is a button you press for enter, which is also the record button. The top button is the play button. The right and left arrows are menu arrows and arrows to get through songs or tracks, and the bottom button is the stop button. And that's all that's on the front of the recorder. On the right-hand side, starting about halfway down, until that point there isn't anything except the case, you have the up and down volumes for the headphones, two separate buttons, one for up, one for down. Below that, you have the power button, a push-in button. You hold it for a couple seconds, and it begins to start doing something. You let it go, and in about 10 seconds, it boots up. Now, I'm sure you can hold it for longer than that just to make sure, but I've had my wife look at it, and she says, yeah, it's about 2 seconds until you see something happening, and then if you hold it another 8 seconds, it's booted up and ready to go. One nice thing about this recorder in that regard is that when you boot up the recorder, if you've got a file on the card, one way to tell whether you've booted up is to press play, because there is a speaker on the back. It isn't a very large speaker, and even at the highest volume, it is not very loud. And in noisy settings, I could see that you'd have trouble dealing with this. But it can certainly be heard, especially if you put it up to your ear. So if you can play a file, you have successfully booted up and are ready to record. Hold the button in again for a second or so, and the recorder turns itself off. And you can hear a little subtle pop if you do this when you're listening in headphones. On the left-hand side of the recorder, again about halfway down the side, are the up and down volumes for the inputs. Same kind of buttons, two separate switches. Below that is the microphone input, and below that is the line input, and that is all that's on the left-hand side of the recorder. On the back of the recorder is the battery house, much improved over the last recorder. The battery door slides a little bit and then comes completely off, and it slides toward the top of the recorder. There's a little finger place in the back that you place your finger and pull the battery door up toward the top, and the piece comes off, and you place two AA batteries there. Can be either nickel metal hydride or alkaline, and there's a setting in the menu to change between the two. I think, according to the manual, the only thing it does is make the battery gauge more accurate, so I'm not sure you have to change in order to make the recorder operate differently, but I don't really know that. Down toward the bottom of the bottom, still on the back, are five switches. Two rows. The first row has three switches. The second row has two. If you're looking at the back of the recorder, the first row has a button that sort of stands out by itself to the left. That is the hold button. And by the way, off on all of these buttons is to the left, and on is to the right. So first there's the hold button, so that if you turn that on while you're recording, nothing you press will make a difference, so you don't have to worry about knocking buttons, etc. Of course, you got to remember to turn the switch off when you're done. To the right of that is the limiter AGC button. And this button is dual function. You can set in the menu whether you want limiter, i.e., does it just take the highest sound off the top, or is it AGC or automatic gain control? AGC not only lowers the highest sounds in volume, but it brings the softest sounds up so that you have a pretty level sound bed of all that's happening. It's not all that realistic, but there are many cases where you would certainly want that. To the right of the limiter button is the plug and power button. Again, on to the right, off to the left, it comes defaulted to off. If you have a microphone that is powered, i.e. either a dynamic mic or a microphone with a battery, you don't need this. Turn it on if you have something that needs plug-in power, and there you go. On the second row, The two buttons are, the one under the limiter button is the frequency roll-off. Again, default is off to the left, and you can adjust the roll-off. Again, I have not totally read the manual, but I want to get this out. I think that you can do 100 Hz, 200 Hz, 400 Hz. I'm not sure if there's anything else or not. By the way, the limiter is not something you can adjust. It's either on or off. You can't adjust how much time it takes to repopulate itself once it has been turned down. And to the right of the frequency roll-off switch is the mic attenuation switch. Off is low mic attenuation to the left, which is what I'm on now, and on to the right is high mic attenuation. I happen to be recording on low mic attenuation with the volumes all the way up. And that's all that's on the back. On the bottom of the recorder is a door which opens onto the SD card slot. There's a little space between the front edge of the recorder and this rubberized door. You put your fingernail down in there and pull ever so slightly, and the door comes open. It's spring-loaded, so it always wants to come back toward you. And in there goes the SD card. Theoretically, at some point, this recorder will be able to take up to a 32 gigabyte SDHC card in the next firmware update. The card I'm using somehow doesn't fit very well. I had to push it in pretty hard, and I was hoping I was pushing it in correctly. By the way, imagine a card at the edge that goes into the recorder. There are two sides. There's the side that's bumpy and the side that's plain. The plain side faces up toward the buttons of the recorder as you slide this card in, sort of from back to front of the recorder. So the top side of the card is facing the top side of the recorder, and the part with the notches go in first. You push it in, you meet some resistance, and then you push beyond that and you hear a click, and it clicks into place. When you take it out, you push it in again, and it's spring-loaded, and it clicks and pops out. And I like the fact that it pops out far enough for you to really get your fingers around it. That's kind of nice. Inside the card door is also the USB jack, USB 2.0, which connects to your computer seamlessly. You don't need to press anything. Just plug it in, and it says, oh, here I am. Copy files from me or onto me. Of course, you can also use a card reader and remove the card and put it in the card reader and copy files that way. I think that pretty much fully describes the recorder at this point. And I'm not going to go into detail about menus. I want to put up a menu tree at some point on my FTP site. And I'm also going to put up any user notes. I'm also going to do another podcast which compares this recorder with other recorders in using external microphones. So look for, and I'll tell you when they're up, the menu tree, some user notes, and another at least one, if not more, files. But one thing I do want to do, because I know that people are curious, is I want to now play a part of a podcast I did on the Edirol R9, the older version, and see how it compares sound-wise, both in terms of the sound of the mic and the microphone preamp hiss. So here's a random part of the podcast that I did a couple years ago, I guess. And then we'll switch back to this recorder. See what you think. This is a reference recording being made by the Edirol R9 recorder. The humidifier is still on downstairs, so the studio isn't as quiet as it might be, but it's pretty quiet. I am making this recording in order to be able to have it around to compare other recordings with other recorders that I happen to buy. As I said, these are the internal microphones, two omnidirectional microphones facing forward. I'm 9 down from the top on the volume, although that's not going to matter because I'm going to normalize it. but I don't have the limiter on because the limiter makes even more noise in the microphone preamps. There are a couple things before I end this podcast that I want to tell you. Let's talk about something that I think all of you will, or at least many of you, will be wanting to do very quickly, and that is, can I delete a file? And if so, how easy is it? Well, it's very easy, actually. If you're playing a file, and you press stop, you press the Finder key, which is in the top row, very left-hand end, as you face the front of it. You are then on the song, or on the track, that you have just recorded. You press Enter to select that track. You arrow down twice, and you press Enter twice. Now, I didn't tell you what you arrowed over, because I don't want to take up time with that at the moment. But that's how easy it is. And then you press Finder again. So it's pretty easy to delete the file that you're on, whereas some recorders make you go to the top of the list and have to try to figure out how to get to the file you're on. This one is pretty easy. In addition, you can delete files using the USB connection. You can delete files using your card reader, and the recorder doesn't care. One other little note that might save you some trouble. I tried to record something this morning, and I didn't have my headphones on, and I blew it. And the reason I blew it was that I was in playback, paused. So I was playing a file, I pressed the play button to pause it, but I forgot I had done that, and so then I pressed record. Nothing happened, of course, because I was still in play. You have to make sure that you're not paused in a file when you try to record, because if you do, nothing will happen. You have to press stop first, just to make sure. Then you press record, you go into record standby, and then you press record or play at that point again, and you start recording. And to stop, you press the stop key. The menus do not wrap. They are very simple. As I said, I will put up a menu tree, I will put up some notes, and I will do a couple more podcasts, but I wanted you to have this one soon. So, this is all I think I will do now. You have the sound of the internal microphones. I'm probably 5 inches from this recorder. If I hold it out further, turn up the volume to match the sound I have just recorded. Yes, you hear more hiss. It is a little hissier than some recorders, but better than it used to be. The hiss seems to be, however, on the frequency of what I'm used to as tape hiss, unlike that of the Sonys and the Zooms, which is a lower frequency, which you don't notice as much, even though it might be actually there more in terms of the decibel rating. And the other thing I will tell you, I'll also put up one of these files, is that the MP3 recording has been greatly improved in this recorder. On the older unit, I couldn't stand it. It sounded like everything was underwater, even at higher kbps ratings. I can record quite comfortably at 128 kbps. I don't know that I would want to record a concert that way, but for speech and for ambient sounds, as of yet, I haven't found any problem. I haven't done a lot with it, but it is certainly better than it was before. And at 128 kbps on a 32 gig card, you could get days, weeks of recordings. Oh well, that's stretching it a bit far, but I bet you could. All right, this is it. I'm gone. This is Neil Ewers. And if you want to write me and ask me anything you want to know about this recorder, feel free to do so. NEAL@ravenswood.org. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard. I know it hasn't answered all your questions, but hopefully it's answered enough for you to know something about this recorder. Thanks for listening, and have a good day.